The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
This is the reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weed all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. And then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. When a person took and sowed in the field, it's the smallest of seeds, yet when full grown becomes the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches." He spoke to them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what was said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the world." Then dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the wheat." And he said to them in reply, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The word of this gospel is going to be back again. So today, the gospel reading is about two things: the kingdom and parables. And the parables are all about the kingdom anyways. So you're going to be having a bunch of these for the rest of the year, so I thought I would talk to you about the kingdom in parables so that you could get the most out of it as you go along. So the kingdom is the mission of God. You may remember the last time I said talking about mission. I mentioned Missio Dei, the mission of God. So the kingdom is the mission of God. The kingdom is the mission of Jesus. Jesus, God. Right? And then the kingdom is the mission of the church, which is us, because we do what Jesus did. But it's all about the kingdom, which is a very fuzzy concept for most of us, and a lot of what we think we know is actually wrong. So, let's talk about this important thing. The first thing, which you think that this is some new liberal California theology I just pulled out of it today and I'm throwing at you. Let me quote Pope Paul VI on the kingdom. Now, St. Paul VI, he says, and I quote, get this, "Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, and this is so important that by comparison, everything else becomes the rest." which is given in the vision. The kingdom is that important, that everything else you know about Jesus is like an old byway. That's how critical this is. He goes on to say, I quote, only the kingdom is absolute, and it makes everything else relative. Wow. That's pretty simple. That's pretty stark language. So it's important we understand this concept. Now, this is the kingdom, it's the center of Jesus' vision, his teaching, his miracles, everything. This is what it was all about. And it needs to be our center too, as his disciples. And you are disciples. In the parables, there's always two groups. There's the crowd, that's not you. And there's the disciples, that's you. And I know you're disciples because this is the 16th week in ordinary time. It's just a regular Sunday. And here you are at Mass. Good for you. Do you know what percentage of Catholics are at Mass today? According to our most recent studies, 20%. So if you're not disciples, we're out of business. So pay attention to the disciples in the stories. That's you. So the disciples need to understand the point of what Jesus is doing, which is the kingdom. So, the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the kingdom of heaven, all talking about the same thing. Now we're reading Matthew's gospel. He's writing a Jewish gospel for Jewish Christians. He's, this is why he's all talking about Moses, and they quoted a prophet. There's none of that in Luke, John, Mark. Because these people don't know who the prophets were. They're Gentiles. They don't care what Moses is. They're not trying to connect these dots. Matthew's trying to connect the dots. The other thing he does that's very Jewish is he does not say the word God. You don't speak God's name. You don't even say the word God. You say the Lord, which was just a common term for the boss. If you worked for someone, he was your Lord. Caesar was Lord. You know, just meant boss. So we're not going to say the G word, and we're not going to say Yahweh, for sure. No one says that. So when he talks about, so he's trying to be a good Jewish Christian, and he's trying to convince other Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. So he doesn't want to upset them. So he talks directly, as the Jews did, of the kingdom of heaven. And we hear that, and we think, oh yeah, the place we're going to go when we die. No. No, see, that's where it all goes wrong. Every else is kingdom of God. But that heaven throws us off. And that's in this year's readings as we go from Matthew every year. Doesn't mean the place where you go and die. He's talking about the kingdom of God without saying God. Now, the best way of talking about it is actually the reign of God, which means his rule, the reign of a king, the rule, the government of a king. That's close to what Jesus was talking about. Even more so the kingdom. But the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is how God would run this earth if we would let it. It's in the prayer, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You don't need to worry about the kingdom of heaven. It's all set. That's why it's heaven. Everybody's doing what God says up there. So it's a wonderful place. You're going to love it, right? Take it off your to-do list. But this is a hot mess down here. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday. It's a mess. And that's why it's in the prayer, your kingdom come on earth. So this is what he's talking about, the rule of God on earth. And it is not a political reality he's talking about, it's a relational reality. This is why he says, when he's confronted by the Pharisees, at what point he says, the kingdom of God is among you, it's right here. You can have it now, it's only you that's preventing it by the way you act, by the way you treat each other. It's a relational thing. The kingdom is the environment in which people share dreams, hopes, cares, and service because they recognize God's vision for human life. This is what Jesus is telling you. The kingdom's like this, the kingdom's like that. They give us a vision. And then we're supposed to go out and live that. Because God has a plan for this world. And it's not what's in the newspapers. Now, the parables that we're going to be hearing, we're going to read today, we're going to be hearing and so on, are very interesting things. And We should be very attentive to the parables because of all the words in the gospel, this is the closest you will ever get to the mind and creativity of Jesus of Nazareth. He wrote, there's a 40 parables in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have more parables from Jesus. Jesus didn't invent parables. There were people doing parables, you know, thousands of years before Jesus, right? But we have more parables of Jesus than anyone else in the ancient world by far. And scholars of literature and antiquity, who are not believers at all necessarily, they say that Jesus' parables, just comparing them to everybody else, are just masterpieces of literature. And that they are brilliant. Now, why did Jesus tell parables? Well, the first reason was to stay alive. He was big into that breathing thing. I'm kind of defending myself. I don't know, but that's a little controversial. I'm all for it. And as soon as they figured out this kingdom thing, what did they do? They did that. And right above the cross it says, King of the Jews. So you don't want to go out just throwing it out there. You wouldn't get 2 or 3 years to teach this stuff and get the word out. You would have been taken care of on Tuesday. You understand? So he's got a kind of, this is like, let those who have ears to hear, hear. This is what he's saying. Connect the dots, let everybody know what's in the crowd, you know? That's what he's doing. He's like sending it out. And a parable is a little story you have to wrestle with. Like, well, what does that mean? Or who is this? Who am I in the story? What's he doing? Because everybody knows he's not talking about farming. He's not. He's not giving agricultural lessons here. They all know that. So it's kind of like codes, because he's trying to stay alive long enough to get the message out. These are fighting words. The Romans did not like hearing about other kings. So the first was to stay alive. The second was to make people think. See, half of you have already gone to sleep because I'm just talking at you straight. You tune in, you tune out, you know, but I do it. Right? But if I give you this little Rubik's Cube, you go, it engages you, you go, okay, well, how does this work? How do I, you know, must succeed? What is that? You know, it makes you stay focused and wrestle with it. So it makes people think. And the other thing is, it's how you identify disciples. Jesus did not refuse anyone who wanted to know, what are you talking about? They came up to him from the crowd and said, what is this? What are you saying here? He told them just like he told the disciples. But most of the people, the crowd, see the crowd in all these stories, they're not here for what Jesus is telling. They're here to see the show. Oh, I heard he killed a blind guy the other day. Yeah, my cousin was there. Yeah, maybe we'll do something today. You know, what's the lunch? I don't know, let's go watch the show. And when he's done, they all walked away. But they didn't ask him, what does this mean? What are you saying? If they were interested, they did, and they became disciples. That's how it works. So how do I know who in the crowd is even interested in what I'm talking about? It's the people that come up and say, hey, I had one guy at 5 o'clock, and I said, look, it's changed something. Do you know anything I could read on this? I said, okay, that's one I got. I already emailed a couple books, you know? I mean, it's like, that's how you know. I'll spend all the time to do what you want. You identify yourself to me, it's like, oh, I'm interested in this. Well, good, because I'm annoying with other people, but I'll talk to you. So that's what Jesus did. So, anyways, we are disciples and not the crowd. So through his parables, Jesus instructs us about how the kingdom comes. That's what you got today, the 3 parables today. How does the kingdom come? What is the kingdom like? How do you get into the kingdom? What's it like to live in the kingdom? That's all the other parables. Today we've got how does the kingdom come? We got 3. We got the mustard seed, the yeast, and the wheat and the wheat. Now, the mustard seed and the yeast are really kind of 2 ways of saying the same thing. Mustard seed is very small. If you ever had coarse round mustard from a store, it's got the little specks in it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but see it the next time you go to the store, look for it. Those little specks are mustard seeds. If I had one on my finger, I would have to point to it and say, that thing there, that's smaller than the freckle, that's the seed. It's the smallest seed they knew of. And it grows into this 15-foot bush. I mean, it's a good-sized plant. The birds live in it and all that other stuff. So he said, the kingdom comes like this. You can't even see it if they're showing it to you hard. And when I plant it in the ground, you don't hear anything. Because people say, what kingdom? Everything's the same as it was yesterday. What are you talking about, Jesus? And he says, this, it's here. It's already happening. Only if you want to see it, can you see it. And if you don't want to see it, then I can see it. Or it's like yeast, a little bit of yeast, and it raises all the stuff. 3 measures of wheat is a bakery. That's not what you make for dough for your bread for the day and your family. That's enough for the village. This little bit of stuff, very silently and imperceptibly, has this power. And once you put it in, you can't stop it. This is what he's saying, the kingdom is coming. Then he gives us the wheat thing. And this is very important. This is my favorite parable. He said, it's always going to be tough, guys. There's always going to be weeds. Stop being surprised. Oh, there's weeds. Oh, there's weeds in the church. Yeah. We got the memo. We stop being surprised. Jesus picked Judas. How's that for a weed? Paul's whipped. He's beaten. He's in prison. Hello, weeds. You know, I mean, like, to be shot, there were no good old days. That's just people who don't have enough information. You know? It's always been bad. And the day Jesus comes back, the day before, the newspapers will be just as bad, or maybe worse. This is the way it is. It's telling. Don't let that throw you. The kingdom is coming anyway, so we is growing. And he says that the kingdom comes silent. It doesn't come with, you know, something that comes with thunder and lightning and angels and prophets. Well, judgment does, but this, the kingdom is already started. We're living in the kingdom now, the beginning of it. And it comes quietly and imperceptibly. The parables of Jesus show us God's network. The reign of God is a network of love, salvation, and justice. Those are the three buckets. So you 20%ers, you disciples, if you remember back to the last time I preached to you, I also talked about mission because of the reading, and I said there were 3 actions we're supposed to do in mission. Proclaim, remember this, whenever you talk, witness how you live, and serve. It also counts into something for something, right? Proclaim, witness, and serve. Well, today I'm going to give you the rest of your mission statement. What do you proclaim, witness, and serve? Not the church. Not the Blessed Virgin. Not Father Mike. The kingdom. Like Jesus did. We serve the kingdom, which is larger than the church. The church is part of the kingdom. But the kingdom is bigger than the church. That's what we serve. And whenever you do anything for love, to mend the world or love, you go down and work at the United Way. It doesn't have to be Catholic. Anything you do that makes the world more loving, you are doing kingdom work. Anything or justice, anything you do to make the world more just, it doesn't matter what you do, is kingdom work, is justice. So we proclaim, we witness, we serve God's reign of love, salvation, and justice. One sentence, that's the whole Christian life. That's what we're called to do. To keep the main thing. The reign of God is the main thing in Jesus' life. And it should be the main thing for his disciples. I know that was a lot, and I apologize. But hopefully, you'll be able to get a lot more out of the parables as you go through the rest of the year. Thanks for staying with me.